Border Country. Literary and historical narratives, as Wallace Stegner remarked, are not identical twins, but they are sisters. Ever since Sir Walter Scott established the historical novel in 1814, writers have often incorporated historical events and persons into their fictional stories, creating a border country between the imaginary and the actual. It can become a dark and bloody ground, however, when there is a clash between the historical sense and the literary imagination. Historians must not invent characters, events, or documents, while fiction writers need some room for their creative inventions. In his book, The Historical Novel, Georg Lukács suggested some handy rules of thumb to reduce such conflicts. The writer can focus on a general social and cultural milieu rather than on famous public events, view actual historical persons through the eyes of other people, and dramatize little-known or undocumented episodes in the lives of historical figures. Tracy Chevalier, in Girl with a Pearl Earring, for example, makes her protagonist a fictional maid to the painter Vermeer, and we see him through her eyes. She is also solidly established in the social setting of the 17th century Dutch Republic. The Vermeer portrait is unusual in looking at us over her shoulder as if she were about to speak, and the story gives her an appropriate voice. Max Bird's novel, Grant, respects Lukács' advice because Bird's focus is on the large canvas of the Gilded Age, and Grant himself was known as the American Sphinx, an enigma to his biographers, and therefore a good subject for a novelist's imagination. Bird mainly looks at Grant and his career through the eyes of others. Bird, in a postscript, explains that whenever possible, he has taken dialogue verbatim from letters, books, diaries, and so on. He admits that he has taken poetic license in his treatment of Henry Adams's novel Esther because there's no decisive evidence that his wife knew all along that he had written it. Michael Frayn's play, Copenhagen, seems to violate all Lukács's rules because all three of its characters are actual persons, two of them internationally famous physicists, and they speak their thoughts directly to us. Yet, Frayn ingeniously secures some artistic freedom for himself by having them look back on their discussion as posthumous persons. Moreover, the subject discussed in the play is not a major public event, but an informal meeting in 1941 between two scientists in Copenhagen, for which there are no documents, only uncertain and conflicting memories. The play exploits Werner Heisenberg's famous uncertainty principle in physics as a metaphor for the historical uncertainty about what he said to Niels Bohr in 1941 about the German and Allied nuclear programs. Uncertainty is often a skeptical, postmodern theme about the supposed inability of either fiction or history to get into referential relationship to anything outside our own imagination. Frayn, instead, insists that where there is ambiguity in the play about what happened, it's because there is in the recollections of the participants. These three writers demonstrate the continuing vitality of what the Victorian novelist George Eliot called the veracious imagination.
You've been listening to S. Cushing Strout, Jr., Emeritus Professor of American Studies and Humane Letters at Cornell University. Professor Strout's comments are drawn from his recently published book of essays on fictionalizing history, The Veracious Imagination.